people are no longer...
The nation mostly clean, but...
They're coming after me. I don't know who they are.
But you gotta take this along. The implications...
Now, this here is our common room. You have your TV, of course, and we have some board games and a puzzle collection. Mostly nature scenes. A lot of the residents enjoy playing cards. You enjoy bridge, pinochle, hearts, maybe poker. We do a poker night once a month.
So this is where I'm dying.
Oh, no, Mr. Morrison, you can't think of it like that.
I was going to spend my retirement fishing. I swear to Christ, Wayne, that's why I bought a boat.
Well, Mr. Morrison, maybe we can think of a way to bring those old talents to our community. You were a fisherman?
No, a judge.
Oh, well, geez, I guess I should call you Your Honor, then.
A fat lot of good that'll do me here.
I bet you've seen it all, huh? Being a judge.
I've seen more than my fair share, kid. I got a lifetime of bad events and mistakes rotting away in this old brain. Things we ain't supposed to talk about.
I always thought trials and crimes were public things.
All those things I did, they had almost nothing to do with my day job.
Did you moonlight as a crime-fighting detective?
Something like that.
I was just kidding. Comic books. You're not too old to remember...
Yes, I know about comic books. I mean, all my damn life we had comic books.
Were you some vigilante judge then? Writing wrongs you knew the law wouldn't handle?
Like I said, kid, something like that.
So, can you tell me more about it?
You know what my answer is, kid. You know damn well I'm not supposed to tell you or anyone a goddamn thing about what I did. Any of it. All of it. It's all supposed to stay locked away in this old brain of mine for whatever handful of years the Lord gives me to rot away. I'm supposed to sit here in this god-awful room, watch that TV, do them puzzles and play, I don't know, pinochle? Poker? The bullshit a man's supposed to do with his final pointless years. You have a family? Anyone who will miss you?
No. Why do you ask?
I don't have any.
So, I guess we won't have to worry about scheduling you visits?
No, you don't. I'm asking because maybe. Maybe I tell you some things and maybe you'll want to share my stories with someone that you care about.
I wouldn't do that, sir. And, well, I don't really have anyone I'd like to share stories with.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that, kid.
It's fine.
You want to know about what I did? What I really did? It's a long story. Well, stories. Lifetime of stories and lies that ends with me dying in a quaint little retirement center just like this.
Okay.
Okay. Then I'll begin. I'll begin with this.
They tell me all your stories, all the little worries you cry. They tell me what the world needs, what to say, who to please, where my loyalties should lie. They tell me what you're building, far too many stories high, the stories high. And tell me where will we be when it comes down from the sky, all scattered and far wide. And the rising tide.
It was 1993, Thursday, August 12th. I remember because Friday was the 13th, so this was August 12th. We want to start the story, though. I want to focus on a character. So, Wes, your character, Willow, she's driving. She's in basically one of the agency's vehicles, one of the larger vehicles, probably one of the Bronco type, SUV type, because she just does not fit in the sedan, frankly. So she's on the freeway, the expressway in Houston. It's a little bit after five, and she's stuck in traffic, but she's got a destination to go to. Describe Willow for us, if you will.
So Willow, inside of this Bronco, is taking up the entirety of the driver's compartment, not so much in width, but in height. She's 6'8" tall, so even the large vehicle is constraining her height a little bit. She's a little bit hunched in the seat, which makes her take up quite a bit of this truck frame. She's a relatively pale woman, pretty uncommon in South Texas. Even though she spends a lot of time outside, it just never seems to darken her skin much. Relatively nondescript, not what you would call a shocking beauty by any means, but still soft features, not really hardened by the world yet. She's definitely not comfortable in traffic. There's way too many people around. She's very agitated, not comfortable in the vehicle, and ready to be at the destination because she was sent to do something.
So as she looks over to the passenger seat, she can see George sitting down next to her. George looks relatively calm, as if the traffic isn't bothering him. It's one of those things, those qualities about him. It's really always irritated you. But he is looking out the front, not doing any kind of passenger backseat driving or whatnot, just watching the traffic. He glances a bit at you and gives you that kind of like a casual half smile that George is known for.
George, is this really the best route? Like, can we go? Is there an alternate?
Well, you're on the expressway, but really, this is all we got. You'll get there in time. You shouldn't be in such a hurry.
She kind of just slouches back in the seat and just kind of with resolve. All right, we're stuck. We're doing this.
You're not stuck. It's just going to take a little bit longer. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, George.
You know, you probably shouldn't have volunteered for this.
Why not? I needed something to do.
You probably shouldn't be doing this. You really want to see this?
I mean,
is this you want to see?
Is there somebody better for this?
You know there's not.
And that's why I'm here.
What are you going to do afterwards?
I don't know, George.
For what it's worth, I'm sorry.
It's not worth much.
Yeah. I didn't think they'd get you involved.
I don't know. Kind of seems like all points lead to this, though.
I mean, this wasn't something I wanted you involved in.
I did kind of keep pushing, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I could tell. This wasn't something for you.
And it seems like a decision that was made before now, so we might as well deal with the present.
I mean, it's your life. You're going to have to deal with it one way or another, so... like I said, I'm sorry.
Thanks, George.
You want to stop for gas or some food before you get there?
I think I just want to get it over with. Because like you said, what comes after is going to be the hard part.
Well, you never were sick to your stomach. I always commended you for that, so, yeah, I get it. You're a good kid, Willow.
Thanks, George.
Yeah, I know you hate that. So, just don't crash. And, just, like I said before, I'm sorry.
Appreciate it, George. It'll be okay.
Eventually, the traffic gives way. Willow, you're able to navigate your vehicle off the expressway to the destination that you were heading towards. This is a Walmart located on the northeast end of Houston. It's a little bit after 5 o'clock p.m. And the Walmart is right off the expressway, right off the Sam Houston Expressway that circles the city. It's got the massive parking lot. And as you approach, you can obviously see that something has gone down here just as you expected. So the police line is set up. All the police vehicles are still where they were when they arrived hours ago on the scene. They put tape up, you know, caution tape. A crowd is still here. There's actually a couple news vans that is set up in the parking lot just a short distance away doing their interviews. And outside of the location, the police are milling about and doing the whatever it is that they do long after a problem has been resolved. So your vehicle is marked with the department, with the Drug Enforcement Agency logo and whatnot. And it's not that difficult to get it through the police line. You park amongst a lot of the Houston Police Department vehicles. George is not sitting beside you.
Yeah.